take a girl and a guy, and they fall madly in love and form a family. Sprinkle in some counseling degrees and a doctorate, a dream of transforming relationships as we know it. And 20 years later, we give you power couple Dr. Ray and Jean Katkodian. And this is their podcast, Couples Synergy.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Couple Synergy with Dr. Ray and Jean. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray.
And I'm Jean. And this is our podcast about love, marriage, and relationships.
Please check us out online on couplesynergy.com or on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter, and LinkedIn at Couple Synergy. And please subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, or send us any suggestions on topics you'd like to hear more about. And now on to Couple Synergy, an in-depth look at love, marriage, and relationships, where we bring you our experience helping thousands of couples transform their relationships for 25 years.
You know, everyone says you should work on your relationship, but nobody teaches us how. So we've created this podcast to teach people what they can do to create the relationship they've always dreamed of.
With the partner they fell in love with. On today's episode, we welcome Ann Swanson. She's the author of the internationally best-selling book, Science of Yoga, which has been translated into over 15 languages. Her new book, Meditation for the Real World, illuminates the fascinating science behind meditation with step-by-step practices to help you find peace in everyday life. And she is also joined by her fiancé, Mike. And they have some really great news to share with us once they bring them on. But, you know, thanks so much, guys, for being on our podcast today.
And we're so glad to be here.
So I think the good news is that by the time this podcast comes out, you guys will be married. So that's congratulations to the two of you guys.
Yeah, thanks. We just filled out the paperwork last night, so we'll be getting eloped here on the beach in Hawaii.
Very cool. Can you tell us a story of how you met?
You know, we first met at a dance studio. It was a very intense one called Arthur Murray. And this was kind of towards the end of the COVID-19 pandemic. And so I was just coming back from a long trip, and I was thinking to myself, what do I really want in a relationship? And I thought to myself, someone like her, and I happened to look at Anne. I think in some ways I kind of manifested her. And I tried to speak with her, and she just wanted to dance. But
yeah, I did not want to chit chat. He was asking me about work, and was not into that.
Yeah, over time, we got to know each other, and there was a very... Yeah, we just kept going to the same events.
Yeah, he kept showing up at the same dance events and slowly warmed up to him. You know, he's a good dancer, and he would walk me to my car afterwards, which was really sweet.
We actually did podcast the Arthur Murray studio.
Yeah, what one studio
In Chicago.
We podcasted a couple dance instructors, you know, talking
during
about
COVID.
And yeah, that was actually around the same time, yeah. I think. That's really fascinating. Wow.
There's a lot of similarities between learning to dance and being in a relationship.
Yes. And it's a great way to get to know somebody. Like, we got to know each other learning a new style of dance that we're both interested in. And that was just such a great way to, like, get to know each other in that early stage.
Which is the style of dance that you guys are interested in?
Well, we were already doing, like, salsa and bachata, but we wanted to learn kizomba. And it's a closer dance, and we did like a more urban sort of style of it. So it's like a fusion with some tango things in there and hip movements. So
cool.
That's fun.
Wow. I haven't heard of that dance before. Cool.
So what was it about each other that you fell in love with?
I guess I'm first. You know, what I really admire about Anne is her capacity to really listen intentionally. I think one of the challenges I had in previous relationships is not feeling like I was comfortable with expressing my needs and expressing what it is that I was feeling. And I feel very comfortable and safe with her. And really, it's been a remarkable part of our relationship.
Yeah. I guess that kind of goes back to dancing, like you were saying. You know, I'm a follow usually, so that's the listening role. But I appreciate that we have this ability to both follow and lead. It's not like one is strongly the lead and the other follows. And we're actually working on that in our dance. He's tried to learn how to follow some too, even though he's typically a lead in dance. So that's been kind of fun to experiment with that.
That's awesome. Yeah. Do the two of you work on meditation together?
So I was meditating and doing yoga and mind-body practices and teaching as a yoga therapist when I met him. And I got him into meditation. He was like interested in it. So he was dabbling in it. And then when I signed my contract for meditation for the real world, that's when he really committed. So he started meditating every day for about 10 minutes a day. And during that time, you were just finishing up the Army commander and very stressful, intense job. And it really, yeah, I'd like you to share how it helped you. But I think it really helped him in a lot of ways that it typically helps people when they start meditating. And then it also helped our relationship.
I think it was born from a lot of curiosity. I watched Dan spend hundreds of hours working into this book and these topics. And overall, I just was really intrigued as to how I could keep myself calm under pressure. I was the company commander, so I had 170 analysts that worked for me, and it turned out to be a very demanding job. And so I think using meditation and learning from Ann really helped me maintain my calm and be able to focus when I need to. And that helps out a lot in our relationship as well. When you start to feel overwhelmed, to be able to employ breathing techniques and apply focus and really appreciate the finer moments too.
So a lot of people say, I can't meditate. Mm-hmm. And typically what I say to that is all meditation is to become an observer of yourself. So even if your mind is crazy, you're still meditating. How do you answer that question of, I just can't do it. I'm not good at meditator.
Well, I specialize in teaching busy people with busy minds. And so I think people think that meditation is the act of focusing on whatever the focal point is. So the teacher may tell you to focus on your breath or word that you repeat or a visual, whatever you're focusing on. They think, I'm only meditating when I'm focused in on that thing. But meditation has stages, and it happens to even the most advanced meditators. You start focusing on the thing, then your mind wanders, which is inevitable. Your mind will wander. The next stage is a neural network picks up and says, is what I just thought about important or not? So if the house is on fire and you're smelling smoke, you know what? It's important. Stop the meditation. Get out of the house. But if you're thinking about, oh, I shouldn't have said that in that conversation with Mike yesterday, well, he's probably still upset about that, then that's not relevant to your focal point. So you're going to determine, okay, it's time to come back to that focal point. Meditation is the act of coming back. It's the act of training yourself and to go through that process. So it's really boot camp for your focus. So if you have trouble focusing, it's more reason to meditate. Meditation is not just focusing. It's noticing when you're not focusing, as you said, becoming an observer and able to redirect.
So how did you get into meditating and yoga?
I got into it because I needed it. Like, I was very anxious and type A. I'm a recovering perfectionist. I also dealt with chronic pain since I was a teenager. So I came to these practices, first starting with the physical practices like yoga and Tai Chi for my own healing. And then I started to dabble in meditation. At first, I didn't like it. I didn't like the meditation part of it. I was like, okay, yoga class is done. It's time to go. I have things to do. And then I started to experiment with different techniques. You know, a teacher would try a technique and I'd be like, oh, wow, that worked. I got a glimpse of that feeling of lightness. And I started to realize that that's really where a lot of the magic happens. When we look at yoga, that's the purpose of the poses, is to prepare us for these higher states of meditation. So I started to feel differences in my anxiety. My chronic pain is much better managed. It's not a thing that puts me bedridden anymore. My sleep has improved. So when I started to feel these benefits from meditation, then, you know, I got hooked.
Yeah, I think they consider yoga as meditation and movement, would you say? And you know, a question I wanted to ask is you know, Mike, when you guys kind of came together, did you guys ever try partner yoga?
You know, that's been a topic we've recently come up with. I've honestly just started learning yoga, even though Anne's a excellent yoga teacher. And honestly, that's primarily due to my schedule, but I thought that'd be a great way to connect, honestly.
Yeah, he brought up that we should try to find a partner yoga class. We haven't tried it together. He goes to my yoga classes when I'm teaching now, because his schedule has opened up quite a bit since he's been in transition. But that is something we'd really like to do.
There is a book called Partner Yoga that has some of the poses in it. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think we would have to really train to be able to get to do some of those movements.
It forces you to be present, because like some of the things can be like an acro yoga where you do that with a partner. If you fall, you know, it's a building of trust with your with your partner, because they may be holding you in a position.
Can you talk about different types of meditation?
Yeah, there's so many different types of meditation. Of course, we've all heard of mindfulness, which mindfulness is like a technique that we use in a lot of different types of meditation. It means to pay attention on purpose to the present moment without judgment, or I like to think of it with like self-compassion. When your mind wanders, you understand that's part of the process. So a lot of mindfulness techniques can be like noticing your breath, noticing your body sensations. Now, there's emerging research on compassion meditation, which I really love. And that uses a variety of techniques. Like there's one called loving kindness, where you send positive wishes to somebody. And we've actually used this one a lot with some great success. So what you do is let's do it right now. Like everybody think of somebody neutral. Think of somebody like that served you coffee, somebody that you was waiting in line behind you, somebody that, you know, you see, but you don't maybe even know them. Think of that person right now. And we're just going to send them some loving kindness. So imagine them smiling and send them these wishes you can repeat in your head. May they be safe. May they be healthy. May they be joyful. May they be free from suffering. May they be at ease. Oh, let's do one that's a little easier. Think of your partner, somebody that is easy to love, you know, your loved one. Think of them. Imagine them smiling and at ease. And we'll do the same thing to them. Notice how it feels, okay? So may they be safe. May they be healthy. May they be joyful. May they be free from suffering. May they be at ease. One last one we'll try today. Think of somebody who's challenging to you, like a 5 out of 10 challenging, somebody that annoys you, maybe somebody at work, somebody that's been annoying you recently, okay? Imagine them. Now, notice how it feels to send them well wishes. May they be safe. May they be healthy. May they be joyful. May they be free from suffering. May they be at ease. Notice how that feels for a few moments. And this is a meditation technique. You'll feel immediate effects for yourself, you know, relaxation, but also this could be helpful, as we just did with the last one. It could be helpful when you're frustrated, angry at someone, road rage. That's something we dealt with in our relationship was road rage. And instead of cursing at the people and letting your own blood pressure get high, instead, the easiest one to say during road rage is may they be safe, right? Because they probably just cut you off and did something crazy. So at least like may everybody be safe. And your blood pressure goes down. You feel more at ease in those moments. So that's something we've implemented. And then we do for random strangers, and we've experienced some great benefits where all of a sudden that person that we never really had a connection with is like super nice to us. I'm like, oh, well, I did loving kindness meditation on her yesterday. Oh, okay.
How long have you guys been together?
I think it's been almost 2 years now.
Yeah, almost 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm guessing sometimes you fight, maybe.
Yes.
Certainly.
The road rage.
Are you able to hold this space when you're in the middle of that turmoil?
I would say especially. It's I think a lot of people feel out of control when they're upset with their loved ones. Mm. And I think meditation is a way to master your own emotions and feel more in control. When I feel especially frustrated or at times, I am able to go communicate directly. I'm frustrated. And once I've identified that emotion, I'm able to move on from it. And so observing how I feel and then being able to then articulate why I feel this way, I think it's a very helpful way for understanding what's really going on in the relationship and how we can work together to really move forward.
But practically speaking, sometimes it's like, I need to go in the other room and meditate right now. Like, I need to get away and like take a moment for myself to reset, to press that reset button or really dial it down to my nervous system. And then we come back together. So for me, that's kind of how I am. Sometimes I need like a few minutes alone to come back. When we're in the car and it has to do with like that, we can't necessarily separate. But yeah, that's also been a way that we've utilized meditation.
You know, we also find it's very useful when especially a couple is having a problem, it's because something's coming up for healing for the individual person. So, you know, you're reflecting something to you and you think it's them, you know, they just stop stepping on my toes, I'd be okay. When really it's, you know, why does that, what is that bringing up for you? And so meditation can be a great way to have that insight. And, you know, I don't know why, but pain has so much more to teach us than the good stuff. And so whenever, especially if I'm in that place and I go to meditate, I really get a lot more clarity about what is this about, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that really strengthens our relationship.
And I think what also strengthens our relationship is being able to meditate together. Like when we do that together, there is this, I don't know, it's like an amplification of that power. Right? Because you are feeling your partner beside you as you are both meditating. You know, we've studied Vipassana meditation for many years.
Oh, hold on, because that's a funny story.
Oh, okay. This is really
so in 2008, I went to a Vipassana 10-day silent meditation. Mm-hmm. If you've ever done it, it's pretty brutal. 10 years after that, I was in the throes of the menopause, and it drove him so nuts. He went and did it in 2018 for the 10 days. And I remember you, and for like those 10 years, we were really out of sync from the shift that I had gone from learning that. And then when you walked back in the door, you said, I know what you're talking about now.
Oh, wow.
Or I said,
I get it.
Yeah, I get it. Or mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the thing is that during those 10 years after you did the Vipassana retreat, we were doing meditation together, you know, but I didn't really have that experience. I was kind of learning from you, but I didn't have that experience on my own until I went and did the silent retreat myself. And then,
except for the mosquitoes.
Well, yeah, I did in the middle of the summer and
oh man.
You know, and in Vipassana, you have to take a vow of not killing anything. And so you can't even swat the mosquitoes that are that are biting you as you are in meditation.
You needed the extra strength one.
It really taught me a lot, inner strength, you know, and connecting within. So, but meditating together, right, we have found to be such a powerful thing, you know, not only for our own personal growth, but also our growth as a couple as well. I don't know if that's something that, you know, the science, any of the science has shown for you.
Yeah. In the book, I have a section in Meditation for the Real World about meditating together. I didn't open to that section. I opened to the section on dancing, but there's a section about how dancing can be meditative and how to integrate meditation into it. But in the part having to do with connecting with others, when you meditate with others, you release oxytocin, that love chemical, that connection and cuddle chemical, and you feel more connected. We will do sometimes like knee to knee when we're meditating, or lying down. We'll do the type of meditation where you get guided through a relaxation, a yoga nidra, lying down, and we'll just hold hands during that. And it makes a world of difference just having that little bit of touch. Your hands, for example, have so many sensory receptors inordinate for the amount of space that's there. And so when you're touching, it just connects you to the moment by physically feeling. So using touch also can be really beneficial in meditation.
Wow, I didn't even think about that.
I was just thinking when you were saying that, what would it be like if you did spine to spine, like your back to back? That would be
interesting. We've done that. We just took some photos for our engagement a while back, and we did some meditation photos, and we did both spine to spine and knee to knee. And I remember us reflecting on how we liked the knee to knee better for some reason. But it's cool to try both and see how it feels, and might maybe different, you know, times in your life or feelings might be different to have that. But with spine to spine, you feel the breath more, which is really nice. And you have that support of their back. So that's really nice to experience. But with knee to knee, we were like putting our hands on each other's knees, which I also really liked.
Cool. So, you know, we know the answer to this question, but maybe for our audience, you can talk a little bit about why is meditation important?
So you have these immediate effects when you meditate. Your blood pressure goes down, your heart rate goes down, you're releasing the chemicals, the endorphins that help you feel good when you meditate. So there is that going on. You go into that relaxation response, especially if you're in the high stress response. Immediately you're in that parasympathetic nervous system state while you're meditating. And that's a place of healing and rejuvenation. Now, longer term, even like hours and days after, your immune system is functioning better. Your brain tissue starts to change. The network activity changes immediately, and the brain waves change to be in a more relaxed state immediately. We can see that in imagery. But over weeks, months, years of meditating, you start to develop more connectivity in critical areas of your brain related to focus, memory, and then you down-regulate areas related to fear and difficulty making good, healthy decisions. So meditation helps us make healthier decisions. What I teamed with a Harvard neuroscientist for Meditation for the Real World and integrated the most cutting-edge research in it, what she emphasizes is not just this one brain area that changes and then another, but instead it's changes in the network activity. It's more holistic of how the brain works than how neuroscientists used to think it's different parts separate. So it's kind of like how we're realizing, you know, mind-body connection, it's all connected. And the brain activity, the networks that begin to dominate when you meditate more are related to compassion, connective, executive functions like focusing better, making healthier decisions. And then the ones that are downregulated are related to mind wandering, me thinking. When our mind is wandering constantly, we're often mind wandering to something about ourselves. So that's like ego part of our brain, the I part of our brain. We're not thinking, oh, how can I help this person? You know, we're like, how did that conversation affect me? And so that part starts to go down. And not that meditation dissolves your ego completely, although ultimately it could, but it helps you be less me focused and more we focused, more connected with others.
That's really interesting. You know, sometimes when I'm doing a guided meditation for a group, and I'll say, you know, before we stop, just let one word come to your mind. Mm. And nobody ever says the devil. Nobody ever says hate. They always say calm, peace, love. It's always a positive word. So I think that's interesting that supports that, that as we meditate, we let go of the negativity and the lower vibration of energies, and we get that elevated.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, are you still enlisted currently, or?
He's currently an officer.
You're an officer? Oh, sorry.
I was enlisted. That's why.
Well, thank you so much for your service.
Thank you for your service.
Yes, sir.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I'm currently an Army officer. I'm heading out of the military actually this June, and I'm currently doing an internship with Microsoft.
Oh, fascinating. That's awesome.
I found that, and I don't know how you guys go through your training, is a little different than basic training, but I found that learning similar concepts in basic training to meditation, because you got to focus and you're not allowed to be emotional, and you know, you're put in situations that are upsetting and you have to take it. And it really helps you find that inner calm, inner peace. Did you have that experience as well?
You know, I really wish we did, but I'm afraid not.
So you didn't have to stand in line for hours and deal with all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I suppose we did a lot of waiting, but, you know, I think if we had had that structure to control our, you know, how we're feeling and identify our thoughts, I think that kind of emotional intelligence would be beneficial for any profession, but especially the military. Yeah. I think I would, if I were to reflect back, there were many instances where I think I could have done things a lot better had I been more mindful and aware of myself.
Yeah, our son went to Texas A&M, and he spent his college years in the Corps of Cadets. So he never served, but he got all the benefits of that kind of stuff, which I think you're right. I think it's probably an important thing for all people to go through if they can.
Well, I think the military does kind of employ a small little portion of meditative practice when they're teaching combat breathing, right? You know, they are kind of, when you're learning to shoot, you have to be able to focus on your breath. You have to lower your blood pressure, respiration in order to focus. And so they kind of stole a little piece of that, right?
Yeah,
called combat breathing. And then...
I often say that meditation is like boot camp for your focus. It's going to put you in line. You know, if you have a wandering mind, that's more reason to meditate.
Can you talk about spiritual development and how is that related to meditation?
So meditation can be practiced in a spiritual way or not. It can be in a secular way also. A lot of the mindfulness practices we hear about from psychologists and from the research is done in a secular way. But a lot of the traditions that it comes from are spiritual. And I tend to lean towards the spiritual side personally. It helps me feel more connected. And interestingly, there's some research that some types of meditation that are more spiritual could help with headaches and migraines more compared to a more secular one. There's not a lot that compares the two, but I think that's kind of interesting that the sense of like surrendering and just like letting go completely to something greater than yourself, whether it be God or the universe or just this greater sense of something beyond, that to me is what spirituality really represents, beyond the physical, right, into the spiritual realm. And I find that when I bring that into my meditation practice, it's more powerful, but you don't have to.
I think one of the first videos that I ever watched on Anne's YouTube channel was a yoga nidra that she filmed back in 2018. And so I was very curious in learning more about her. And I watched the video. It was a yoga nidra. And so I laid down and listened to it. Instantly fell asleep. But most importantly, there was one phrase that really stuck with me after that meditation. And it was, I will embrace the, I will surrender to the process without judgment. And I think that last bit really stuck with me and changed my perspective on surrendering to the process.
And that's we're often told to not use the word surrender when working with military populations. You can say at ease, but you can't say surrender. But to me, the word surrender is so powerful. So I do often use it in my meditations because it's that sense. You can use it however you want, but for me, it's spiritual. Surrendering to something greater.
Yeah, we find that it's important for us to go into that spiritual realm when we're working with a couple and really differentiate that it's not religion, but spirituality is that connectedness. And whether it's connection with yourself, with your partner, with the human race, with the universe, whatever it is, that's, you know, that's the crux of it. And people get really stuck on that and they go back to their roots of religion or something like that, which a lot of religions aren't quite so spiritual, like we're talking about.
Yeah, you know, the research shows that a common spiritual connection is important for couples and the development of their relationship. So, you know, the connotation is that spirituality is religion. That is not what we're talking about. But that common thread that bonds a couple together, you know, is one piece of all of the connections, right? Physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And if a couple is working on all of those pieces, then the relationship is going to develop, you know, in the fashion that it should.
Can you grab that statue we just got? So whenever we travel, we get a statue of a couple. Huh. So different places, we find really interesting things. And this one, it's from Sweden. And it's from a cave drawing in Sweden. Mm. And I thought it was really interesting.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's such an amazing collection thing to collect.
Yeah. And it's called the bridal statue or drawing or something. They have this at their knee. They have actually, they're bound together. Mm. And then we think this is actually a sword or some type of tool, but his hands are up here. He's not holding them, but that's in a lot of them.
It could be the hilt.
Okay.
You know,
so even if you look at other cave drawings, the men all have that. I don't think it's supposed to be them joining there, but it looks that way.
Yeah, it does.
But isn't that interesting? Cause it just speaks to a lot more spirituality than you would think it. And this is,
well, there's a connection between their faces too. And so, and when Jean saw this, she was talking about the cords, right? The cords of connection.
The chakra
mm-hmm. cords. And that's what it reminded her of. But it very, you know, obviously the conception of spirituality has existed since the beginning of man.
Yeah. It looks like they're dancing to me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
It's a little low here.
Dynamic. But...
cool. Well, you know, tell us a little bit more about your work. You know, what do you have coming up, obviously, with this new book now? You know, what do you have on the pipeline?
Yeah, so my first book was Science of Yoga, and it was focused on all aspects of yoga, but I knew that I wanted to go deeper into meditation with this book and incorporate not just the science, but also how to practically apply it in the real world. So that's why it's called Meditation for the Real World, is that you can integrate meditation into those moments, like when you're fighting with your partner. All right, let's take a moment to separate and meditate. Or even sometimes we do go knee to knee and just take a few deep breaths to regather and check in. So you can integrate meditations into critical moments in your life, even right before you go on stage or give a presentation. And that's when you're going to get those immediate effects. So I think it's important to have a practice. And I do teach like audio meditations. And actually to your listeners, they can go to meditationfortherealworld.com and get not only the book, but also free audio meditations to get you started and having a regular meditation practice, like 10 minutes. But those little powerful pauses is what I'm really enjoying sharing with people, because it takes the intimidation out of meditation. You know, to be able to notice when you're driving that you just got so frustrated and it's affecting your zen, and to be able to just send somebody loving kindness and come back and let it go. Like, we need the tactics to be able to let go. So that's what I'm really enjoying sharing with people right now.
So is creating your guys' ceremony for your wedding, are there things that you want to be a part
just
of?
Just thinking about that. I was going to ask the same question. Okay.
Oh, you want to repeat the whole thing?
Yeah, just what do you find important to you as a symbology or ritual as you guys are going to, you know, cross that threshold?
I'm glad you're asking this, because we really hadn't thought about it much. Since we are getting eloped, I mean, we want to have a wedding in the future. I think it's important that people celebrate the positive things in life and bring people together for that. So we want to have, you know, whether it's a wedding or a renewal party, you know, several years down the road. So we definitely want to have like a more formal one where we plan it over time. But for next week, I think we should come up with some things to do to set it as a ceremony.
I think in some ways we actually did a really good ceremony. When I proposed to Anne, we had an activity scheduled for New Year's Eve, and it was building vision boards together. Essentially, we were going to plan out what the next 10 years of our life would look like, and actually put images to represent what that looks like on a vision board together. And so when I found out we were going to do that activity, I just couldn't imagine doing it without knowing that she was going to be with me for the rest of our, you know, our lives. And so we did the activity together, building vision boards. And I think it really symbolizes our shared vision of what the next 10 years look like for us.
And things have already come true from our vision boards just from a couple months ago already.
So did you put a picture on there? Did you ask her then?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. So I invited her to the beach down at the Waterfront Park. It's a very special park for us because it's a place we often walk to go and watch the sunset or the sunrise. And we went down there, and I told her we were going to go journal and prepare for the activity. And I told her to dress nice.
Which I thought was weird.
Totally didn't.
Why would I sunrise dress nice?
And we were running a little late because my photographer was already standing there, and it's like, it's time to go. And she was like, don't we need the journals? And I said, we don't need the journals. I mean, yes, yes, we need the journals.
I knew I was onto something. Like, I knew it, because he also had the ring box was like messily, like somewhere in a pile. And then he had the ring in like in its own little velvet box in his bag, but it protruded out into the shape of the box.
But yeah, we spent the entire rest of the day just focused on building what our life would look like together. And it's amazing how fast things have really started to come together.
So you get down to the beach at sunrise.
Yeah. Yes. So we get there at sunrise, and his friend is taking pictures of the sunrise just randomly with his nice camera. And he says, hey, get in a photo, get in a photo. And it was like beautiful lighting. You know, the sky was perfect, and we were on a rocky ledge. And so he starts taking photos of us just posing. And then he falls onto his knee, but like, he pretends it's a fall, but he really sold it. He even had like some blood. Like, so I'm like, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm going to have to put all these photos together, like a little video that explains the situation. Cause I'm like, are you okay? And he pulls out the ring and gives it to me. And then we got the whole thing captured as photos, as a little series of photos.
Beautiful.
That's awesome. Did you know his friend? The one,
yeah, I did. Okay. I did know his friend, yes.
And so it's just kind of random that he was there taking pictures of the sunrise. Right. Oh, fancy meeting you here.
And how long ago was that you guys got engaged?
New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. Oh, well. And then how did you decide to elope?
Well, I really don't feel like planning a wedding right now. Like, that's just, it just doesn't feel inspiring to me right now. And we live together, and it just like, I can't really wait. And he agreed. He's like, yeah, we can just do a party later. So kind of impatience. And we talked to our family and they're cool with it.
And you might be taking her name?
I am.
How'd you guys decide that?
So Anne's a very, like, I think it's one thing that's been nice is we were able to communicate on our boundaries and our needs. And Anne said she didn't want to change her name because she wanted to be a, you know, have it associated with her books, with her brand that she spent so much time trying to cultivate. And I'm switching careers entirely. And one thing that's always been important to me is that the entire family has the same name. And while I did not envision it to go this way, I realized that my attachment to our children and us having the same name and being under one common identity was far more important to me than doing something that's not traditional. And so, yeah, I've decided to make the change.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm so grateful.
And that is your tribal name, so that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Cool. And I guess that's another reason why we want to get married sooner is that what feels more important than planning a wedding right now is starting a family. And I'm 37 years old and I've waited so long to have him. And now I'm just grateful that we're there.
That's awesome. You guys got, the future is bright for both of you, right? Heading down this road together. It'd be really great, I think, if you did plan a meditation, you know, for your vows together. That would be a really wonderful way to kind of seal that.
Yeah.
That'd
be really cool. I love that.
Great idea.
I think we will.
Yeah, those rituals are so important to mark things in our life, to take something not tangible and to give it some substance. And I'm a really big fan of rituals. So hopefully you guys do take some time and come up with something super cool.
Absolutely. So where can people find out more about your book? And I think you mentioned it earlier, but maybe we can, you know, kind of mention all the places that they can get to know you a little bit more and get to, you know, a copy of your book.
Yeah. Well, I have put together this meditation challenge at meditationfortherealworld.com. So not only do you get a book, which it's beautiful. I had a New York Times illustrator for it. So it's got like coffee table vibes, gift book vibes, but you also get meditations to help you develop that practice at meditationfortherealworld.com. And then my first book is Science of Yoga. So that's my Instagram account at scienceof.yoga. And you can connect with me there too.
Awesome. We'll put those in the show notes, those links, so that any of our audience would be able to, you know, get to know you a little bit more.
And are we on YouTube right now, too?
We are.
It will when it goes out.
It will when it goes out. It'll be YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, all at the same time.
So. I am a YouTuber, so it's Anne Swanson Wellness. I'll comment below. They'll put the link to my YouTube channel if you're interested in doing some chair yoga and Tai Chi and meditation, self-massage, self-care.
Perfect.
Awesome.
So last question. What is it that your partner does that you know they love you?
Oh, I know. He recently found out that he's like sensitive / kind of allergic to coffee, which was a travesty. So he had to stop, but he still makes me coffee.
Oh, wow. Wow. Especially in Hawaii. They got great coffee there too, right?
Yeah. Let's not rub it in too much.
You know, I think one thing that definitely, I know you said something about your appreciation for rituals. We have one ritual as well. We invested in these beautiful hand-carved bowls that were made by a nice lady at the market. And the reason why I can tell like Anne loves it is we're very committed to our health and to having a, you know, nice fresh food. and a commitment to longevity. And so every single meal we start is we take out these special bowls and we make a salad. And each time we start the meal and we use that time to relish the flavor, thank and have gratitude for the people that went into growing it. And also she makes the best salads of all time. If she ever were to make a cookbook, that's another idea for a book.
That's great. You know, guys, people have been sharing their stories since the beginning of time to bond and heal and grow. And we hope that by you guys sharing your story, it's enriched your lives and the lives of our listeners.
Thank you.
Really grateful.
And Mike, we want to thank you so much for being on our podcast today. Our passion is in helping couples and people have happy and healthy relationships. And this podcast gives us a fun way of bringing our knowledge and expertise to you, our listeners. For all of you listening, please let us know how you enjoy the show. If you have any questions, comments, or topic suggestions, please email us at contact@couplesynergy.com. For more information about Couple Synergy and our programs such as Relationship 101, the Home Study Course, the next Couples Relationship Enhancement Weekend, and our premier couples coaching program called Couple to Couple, look us up online at couplesynergy.com.
And if you know someone who could benefit from this episode, please download it and share it. And thank you for listening.
Until next time, synergize your life and synergize your love.
You have been listening to Couple Synergy with Dr. Ray and Jean Kedkodian. Couple Synergy was recorded, edited, and produced by Dr. Ray and Jean Kedkodian. Voiceover and music entitled Breathe and Let Go was recorded and composed by Gina Gonzalez.